Welcome back to the show. We got a packed hour for you. We're going to go out to Vegas, talk a lot of these NFL football rounds. We got like a big quartet, maybe five games in the NFL this week. Going to be a lot better week top to bottom in the NFL this week than it was last week. Last week, you kind of had that Saints game, I guess, against Cincinnati, if you wanted to count that as a big one. You were supposed to have that Thursday night game that turned out to be a stinker, and maybe at Seattle game. What are my other games out there? Marquee ones. I know the Patriots ended up getting upset, and that Rams game was close. But this week, we got a lot more, a little more legs here in the NFL. You started off elimination game, basically, in the playoffs, Packers-Seahawks on Thursday night. We got the Saints and Eagles. You got the Vikings-Bears on Sunday night football Monday night. You got Rams-Chiefs, two one-loss teams in the NFL. This week is packed in the NFL, and we've got a lot to unpack here. And then, of course, college football. It's almost like a bye week for the SEC because everybody's playing these directional schools and the Citadel and Rice. I mean, I could skip Saturday. I'm going to watch this LSU game, of course. You know, pay attention to it, but I really could skip it. I mean, you really think Rice is going to be a problem for LSU? No. The answer is no. So we're going to take an early break here. When we come back, Ralph Michaels is going to join us from out in Las Vegas. We'll go over a lot of these games in the NFL, some big ones across college football outside of the SEC, and then we'll make our pick six coming back. I'm Seth Dunlap. Hang on. Back with Ralph after this on The Last Lap. Got news coming up here in just a second. Got a little more time. Pelicans about to lose in Minnesota unless a little bit of a miracle happens here. 7 points they trail with a minute 30 left. Three by more is no good. And, yeah, Pelicans are going to fall on this one. So we'll take a quick break, 60 seconds for news, and then pick six. Pick six coming up in just a little bit. Also, some sound from Brandon Marshall as he spoke to the media for the first time since he was signed by the Saints. And I'll just say it again, and I'm still seeing a little bit of this on social media. Heard it earlier a little bit on Sports Talk. If you're somebody who is taking shots at Brandon Marshall for his disorder, it's not bipolar disorder. It is not multiple personality. I want to make sure I get this right. It is borderline personality disorder is what he's been diagnosed with. Don't do that. I mean, you got to be better than that. I mean, you really do. There's no need for that. That's across any line of decency that we have here. By the way, I'm happy Brandon Marshall is here. Another low-risk signing. 34 years old, red zone target, third down target, and he's a good locker room influence. Get out of here with this. He's a bad locker room influence. Maybe 10 years ago he was. Not anymore. Not anymore. Speaking of Brandon Marshall, spoke to the media, and obviously any receiver, their dream has to be to play with a quarterback of Drew Brees' caliber, right? Brandon Marshall's no different. He comes in after Dez Bryant, and I thought this was interesting. He wouldn't be here if Dez Bryant hadn't got hurt. Everybody around the league, receivers especially, have a lot of respect for Dez. Here's Brandon on Dez. Yeah, everybody should feel terrible. That's Brandon Marshall. Speaking of feeling terrible, Nikola Mirotic, he walks off. Didn't see what happened. It looked like he fell to the court. I don't want to speculate because I didn't see it live, but he just walked off. Pelicans again, wrapping up a loss here against Minnesota, down by 7, 20 seconds left. All right, let's do a little pick six here. Fire up the music, Logan. Waiting on Tim's picks. I guess he's going to fade us. We'll start it off in the NFL. I'm going to adjust this line. Saints, it should be Saints minus 8. I know Tim maybe wants to go Eagles here. He wants to inflate it a little bit. We're going to go Saints, an 8-point favorite at home. It's a good line, mainly because, and you can fade me here, Logan, I got the Saints winning this one, and I've got the Saints covering the spread. I'm all over the Saints here at home.
I'm also all over the Saints here. They've been on such a good, they've just been on such a good drive lately, and I don't see the Eagles ending this.
Yep, Cowboys at the Falcons. Falcons a 3-point favorite. These are our six picks against the spread this week. 3 pro, 3 college, by the way. Tim leads this exercise. We all had a terrible week. I think I went 2-3-1. The other guys went 1-4-1. Not a good week. Falcons a 3-point favorite at home. Dallas maybe back in the playoff race, I guess, fringes of it with that win last week against the Eagles, but I've still got the Falcons here at home. 3-point spread. They should be a favorite on a neutral field. I don't feel great about it, but I'll go Falcons on this. Falcons at minus 3.
I will be taking the Cowboys here. I feel like the Falcons will pull this one off, but I see it being a little bit of a closer game than 3 points. So I'll be taking the Cowboys here.
All right. Rams, Monday Night Football, hosting the Chiefs. 3.5-point favorites. Chiefs have been the best play in the NFL. I don't see that changing here. I think the Chiefs, especially with that Cooper Kupp injury, I don't think most people realize how big that is for this Rams offense, because they play that one back, three receiver look the entire time, and Cooper Kupp is on the field about 80% of the offensive snaps. This changes the dynamic there. And I don't think you can quickly replace him. I know they've been without him a couple of games already this year, but those are a couple of games they've struggled in. I'm all over the Chiefs. In fact, I think the Chiefs win outright. It's back in L.A. Give me the Chiefs here to cover. Give me the Chiefs outright.
I will also take the Chiefs here. I just, again, as you said, it's a completely different dynamic here, and we can't discount that.
Rice at LSU. What are we doing? I know we got to pick LSU here. I'm never betting LSU at -42. I don't want to bet Rice either. We just skip this one. I guess we can't skip this one. Rice is terrible. LSU, a little chip on their shoulder, but their offense, 42 points even against Rice. It's going to be close. I think that line's close. I got to think about this one. Just give me LSU here. I'll just go LSU for the home fans. I'm not picking Rice. Rice is atrocious.
I don't want to pick Rice either, but that's a massive.
That is.
That's a massive odd in their favor for LSU, and it's like.
Yeah, usually I take the underdog in this one, but I've already picked. Now I've got two favorites. You know what? I'm going to change. I got two favorites. Give me the underdog. Give me Rice to cover.
All right. I will take LSU here, although I feel like it's going to bite me because of the massive amount of points they have to score for this one.
Syracuse and Notre Dame. Ralph says he really likes Syracuse, maybe even for an outright upset here. I'm going to follow Ralph over into Syracuse, getting 10.5 points, plus 10.5, the orange in this game.
I will be taking Notre Dame here. It feels like they could. There's something off about it. I got to go with my gut on this one.
Devastating loss last week for Oklahoma State, a game that really they probably should have won against Oklahoma. But they lose that one. I don't know how you bounce back from that one if you're Oklahoma State. Really not a lot to play for. Maybe a little bit better bowl game. West Virginia coming in, 4.5-point favorites. I love West Virginia here. Oklahoma State overvalued. West Virginia, a one-loss team, still a chance at the playoffs. Give me West Virginia on the road, -4.5.
Take me home. Country roads, West Virginia for me as well.
Well done. There you go. And hey, it is Reclamation Day, Fallout 76 in West Virginia. That's the setting, Greenbrier. So there you go. All comes full circle. Happy Reclamation Day. That's our pick six. We'll get Tim's pick six a little bit later. We'll let you know what he does. Coming up next, though, Gary Smith coming on in. We got to talk a little Tulane Houston. Tulane not just playing for a bowl game, they're playing for the division lead. That's right. Have a chance to win this division still. They have to win on the road in Houston. We'll preview that with Gary Smith. Maybe a little Tulane hoops talk, too. Coming back, I'm Seth Dunlap. This is The Last Lap on WWL. Well, our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll at WWL.com right now. Who has the most important game this weekend? Not best game, not biggest game, but which is the most important game? Saints against the Eagles, Nichols State, first place in the Southland, against Southeastern, or Tulane at Houston with everything in front of them still. Bowl game, division champs. We'll see. Big, big weekend for Tulane at Houston. Let's talk about it now with Gary Smith, who covers Tulane for The Advocate. Gary, welcome back. What's going on, man?
Thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, this is the biggest game for Tulane in the last 20 years. Tulane hadn't played a game this important with this much significance since the undefeated season in 1998. Because like you said, it's not just going for a bowl game. Tulane could lose to Houston and still beat Navy the next week and go to a bowl game. But this is about competing for a conference championship. And if Tulane can go on the road and beat Houston tomorrow night, Tulane is in really good shape. We'll have an excellent chance to win the American Athletic Conference West Division and play in that championship game on the first Saturday of December, which is truly remarkable, seeing as how just 3 weeks ago Tulane was 2-5 and trailing Tulsa 17-7 on the road midway through the third quarter at the time.
Yep, I'm with you. I'd answer that poll question, Tulane. There's no doubt about it here. It's been, since the Clinton administration? since this happened, man?
Yeah. Yeah, there's been no even competing for any type of a conference title since they went 12-0 in 1998. I mean, nothing even remotely like this, and it kind of came up all of a sudden. As I said, Tulane was 2-2 in the conference after blowing a fourth quarter lead against SMU, Houston was undefeated. Undefeated in conference. I think ranked 17th in the country. And boy, Houston has really spit the bit in the last 2 weeks. Their defense is injury riddled. Their All-American defensive tackle, Ed Oliver, who's going to be absolutely a top 10 pick in the NFL draft, is probably out for the year with a knee injury. He isn't going to play against Tulane. And Houston has given up, get this, 104 points in the last 2 weeks. They lost on the road to SMU and gave up 45 in a 45-31 loss. And then they lost at home to Temple 59-49. And Temple had a running back gain over 200 yards and rushed for 6 touchdowns. I have a feeling Tulane's Corey Duffin and Darius Bradwell for Tulane, who've had big years at running back, are licking their chops at the possibilities of going against this Houston defense tomorrow night.
Yeah, seems like pretty good medicine for Willie Fritz, yeah. Justin McMillan in this offense. Yeah. Speaking of McMillan, he went off in just 12 completions last week. 12 completions for almost 400 yards and 3 touchdowns. You talk about making the most of those passes. My goodness, 12 of 28, 372, 3 touchdowns for McMillan.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. He missed some opportunities. He might have thrown for 500 yards if he'd hit them. But the ones he hit perfectly. They were East Carolina was giving Tulane some slants, giving one-on-one coverage. But if he had thrown them a little off, a little behind the receiver, it's a 10-12-yard gain. Two of the 3 touchdown passes, he led the receiver perfectly, which kind of allowed him to break free and go all the way for a touchdown. McMillan has not played great in Tulane's 3 games. He's now 3-0 as a starter, but he's not making any mistakes, and he is coming up with big plays. He actually did it with his feet in his first 2 starts, and then against East Carolina, he did it with his arm on those 3 mammoth touchdown passes all over 70 yards when Tulane really didn't have much going on at all offensively other than those 3 plays. But that's what they're at. That'll work. You get 3 touchdown passes of over 70 yards, your chances are pretty good to win.
No doubt about it. Gary Smith joining us here, covers Tulane football for the Wave Report and contributor for the Advocates. And this is, like we've been talking about, this is a spot that this program, these players, at least coaching staff, not used to here. Do you think they're ready for the moment, Gary? That's the question I always have in these programs. Are they ready for the moment?
My honest answer is I have no idea. I mean, how could I? they haven't played a game like this. They do have good leadership. They've got really good seniors. Rod Teamer and Brother Martin alum in the secondary. Donnie Lewis, who had 6 pass deflections against East Carolina. They talked about how they've been telling everybody this is a legacy game. They've got everybody ready. They're not bothered by the short week. But honestly, we won't know how Tulane reacts until kickoff tomorrow night, because they haven't played in a game of this magnitude whatsoever. I don't really know what to expect in the game, because I don't know where Houston's heads are yet. You know, they're a proud program. You got to think they'll bounce back and play better than they have in the last 2 games, but it may be that they're just not capable. Houston is dead last in the country, 129 out of 129 teams in pass defense. They're like in the hundreds in scoring defense. They just aren't playing well. And Ed Oliver was one of the best players in the country. Without him, they appear rudderless on defense. I think this is an incredible opportunity for Tulane. I don't see where this is a mismatch at all going into the game, the way Houston's defense has played lately. And then one other point about Tulane, the 2 best offenses they faced in the American Athletic Conference were Memphis and South Florida. Tulane's offense met the challenge in both of those games. They scored 40 points against Memphis in a blowout win, and they scored 41 points on the road against South Florida. So the idea that Tulane can't win a shootout with Houston doesn't really hold up when you watch what Tulane's offense has done against the 2 best offenses it's faced this year in conference.
Gary, you in the prediction game? You got a prediction for us?
I did, and I predicted for the Advocate in the paper. I actually have Tulane winning this game 38-31. Not real confident on it because, again, I don't know how this team is going to react. They have been inconsistent offensively this year. They've had some very poor games. But I think a lot of people who think Tulane doesn't have any chance are just going by history and not the current situation. I mean, Tulane, it was supposed to be a terrible loss when Tulane lost to SMU at home a few weeks ago. Well, in SMU's next game, they beat Houston by 2 touchdowns. Houston's best win of the year was a 21-point home win over South Florida. Tulane went on the road and beat South Florida by more than that. If you go by comparative scores, if you go by the way the 2 teams are playing right now, Tulane is ascending and Houston is descending. The equalizer is Houston's quarterback, Derek King, is an absolutely terrific player. He ran for 141 yards against Tulane last year. He's thrown for 5 touchdowns in 2 different games in the last month. He's a tough guy to handle, but Tulane beat him last year when they played Houston at Yeoman Stadium. Tulane held Houston to 17 points, so they'll have. It's not like Tulane's going into this game wondering if they can win the game. They know they can win the game. It's just a matter of how well they execute tomorrow night.
Well, I can't wait for it, Gary. Again, Tulane against Houston, massive game for the Wave. Gary, really appreciate the breakdown. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, Gary Smith, WaveReport.com, TheWaveReport.com, and also covers the Wave for The Advocate. We'll take a break. Coming back with an update on that opinion poll. Who has the most important game this weekend? You tell us, WWL.com. Coming up next hour, Carter Bryant will talk LSU football and hoops. And Scott Alexander comes in to talk about this Pelicans loss. Also talk a little LSU hoops with him. Comes your way in just a little bit. I'm Seth Dunlap. This is The Last Lap. Thanks for listening tonight on WWL. A very non-scientific poll. It's usually more of a popularity contest, these polls. Blue Runner Foods opinion poll at WWL.com. Who has the most important game this weekend? 81% are saying the Saints game against the Eagles. Only 15% are saying Tulane at Houston. 4% Nicholls State against Southeastern. I don't think it's close. I think this is Tulane. That's the way to answer this question. Tulane against Houston has a chance to take the lead in their division in the American. They've got a chance to become bowl eligible. It's all in front of them. I'll be watching closely that Saints-Eagles game of the Dome. I'll be there, but there's no bigger game locally here. Bigger, more important game, let me put it that way. There's no more important game than Tulane at Houston. And to take a break for news, stick around. When we come back, Scott Alexander's coming in. We got Carter Bryant talking a little LSU hoops. And Will Wade, he's mad. LSU basketball coach, he's mad at the media going to Fayetteville instead of going over to Baton Rouge watching some hoops. Is he right? I got my opinion. What's yours? We'll do that coming back next. One more hour, The Last Lap here on WWL.